stuff. Hi, everybody. Good morning, everybody. The first scripture reading is from Genesis 9, verses 8 to 17, and it's on page 13 in your Bible. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. I will, whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth. Second reading is from 1 Peter 3, 18 to 22, and it's on page 1890 in your Bible. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through the water, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. This is the word of God for the people of God.
We'll continue our readings in Mark 1, verses 9 through 15. Page 1552 in your pew Bibles. This is the baptism and temptation of Jesus. Starting at verse 9. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son whom I love, with you I am well pleased. Now once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild animals and the angels attended him. So after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, this morning we do come before you and ask for you to guide us, to open our hearts and our minds to your words so we might know your will, so we might have a better understanding of how we are to overcome temptations in our lives. Guide us in all things, Father. This morning I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart may be pleasing unto you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, we're starting Lent season, and moving forward is a goal that we're looking at, our theme for the season. And so as I thought about that, and I thought about this being the first Sunday of Lent, and most of the times people in years gone by, they've always given up something. Or they've changed something in their lives. And as an act of worship, as an act of remembering Christ and what he's done for us, and it's an act of remembering our baptism. So this morning, I thought, how am I best going to share a message of temptation? And you got to be asking, how do you get this out of the flood with Noah? Or how do you get this out of what Peter wrote about and what Jesus did in baptism? So I thought, well, first I got to start with a story. So here's the story. So there was a man named, let's call him Rod, and he was a pretty fine woodworker. And so one day his pastor asked him if he'd come to the house and if he'd do a little work. The pastor bought a new refrigerator, and it was a little bit taller than the old one. So Rod, he was a good woodworker. He made cabinets, and he was a longtime member of the church. He was probably an elder in the church at the time. So Rod agreed. Sure, he'd come over and he'd help him out and he'd do it. So the day came when Rod was going to get over, and he got there and he knocked on the door and nobody's home. But the pastor, he would give him a key and said, just let yourself in. And why not? He'd been a longtime member. He was an elder in the church. And so he unlocked the door and in he goes. He brings his tools in and he's looking at the situation, looking at this refrigerator, and he's trying to figure out what he's going to do. So he gets his tools out and he starts at work. Well, it's getting on in the day. It's probably 11 o'clock or so, and his stomach starts to growl a little bit. And he's working away, and he happens to notice out of the corner of his eye, there's a chocolate cake over there. And there's one piece cut out already. And I'm certain he was thinking, well, that must be for me. And he hears a little voice in his head say, yeah, must be your piece of cake. You better get that. And then another little voice comes up and it says, well, wait a minute, they're not here. You need to ask permission before you take that piece of cake. Well, he thought about it. So he goes back to work. He resists the temptation. Well, the day goes on, and his stomach's growling, and chocolate is his favorite. And he's looking at that, and every time he gets a new tool or he bends over, that piece of cake is staring him right in the face, and he hears this little voice say, they won't mind if you take a piece. Or maybe you can just leave him a note. That'd be all right. And then what he used to call his Baptist conscience would come up and say, that's not right. You take anything, that's just stealing. That's just plain wrong. So he resisted. He resisted. It's killing him inside. But temptation, he's resisting this temptation, and he's learning to grow. So he's still going on. It's getting later in the day, and he keeps seeing this chocolate cake back to him, and he happens to notice this jar of pepperoni sticks that's real close to it. He's thinking, I like pepperoni just as much as I like chocolate. He says, they won't miss just one stick. And so real quick, his mind moves faster than his hands, and then next thing he knows, he's got one stuck in his mouth. And he's chewing on, oh, that tasted so good. And then he gets to thinking. And that's where our story picks up. Cruel, isn't it? Mm-hmm. What does the Bible say about temptation? How are we supposed to handle it? And I got thinking about it this week, and I got thinking about the flood, and I'm thinking, you know, just like Rod with his it floods over us, doesn't it? It's like a flood. It's like the waters of temptation. They just float over each one of us, and sometimes we get swept right away with it, and other times we find a way to fight against it, don't we? I mean, you think of the story of Mount Noah, right? So if you look at Noah back in the beginning, he had to make a choice. I mean, can you imagine this? God comes to you and says, guess what? I'm going to flood the earth, but I want you to build a boat. And it's going to be a big boat. And I'm going to fill it full of animals. And what a process this would take. And the ridicule and the scorn he must have gone through from the people around him. Because God was doing this because everybody had given in to temptation. They let that flood of temptation, that water of temptation, overcome them. And there was every kind of evil in the world. If you read back in Genesis 6, and if you get all the way up through Genesis 6 to where we are today, it tells us about how awful the people. They just gave themselves into temptation. It was all about me. It almost felt like today. You know? It doesn't take long. When we leave this place and you get talking with anybody else, it's always about them. It's about me. It's a me generation now, isn't it? So the more I thought about this, and I thought, well, that leads us to the covenant that we read about this morning, about Noah. So when I looked at that, I wanted to reread some of it to you. So, where did I put it? So, in Genesis, so many of us know, so we think about Genesis, we think so in Genesis, in 9, God is making a covenant with Noah. So, he's saying Noah's going to build this ark out of cypress wood, right? And in this covenant, he also says, so he says, God established a covenant with Noah and his sons, and he says, God's part of the covenant is that he will never again flood the waters over the face of the earth. But you think about that, Noah and his descendants, they have a part in this covenant too. It's not just God's part. He gives us the dove. We know the dove is a sign of peace. And then he makes this covenant with Noah, promising never to flood the earth again. And he gives him a sign of a rainbow. But why does he do this? Why does he do this? What's the difference this whole story makes about temptation in our lives? Well, we don't really see that connection until we go to the waters of baptism. And we see the dove again. So when Noah was on the ark, he sent the dove out, and it came back with nothing. But 7 days later, when he sent that dove out, it came back with an olive twig in its mouth. So he knew that life was to be had. Life was going to go on. He knew that he could have peace in his heart as he floated over the mountains. That same dove we use as an example, as a symbol of baptism now, don't we? It's a lightning of the Spirit that comes into the world, that light, that hope that each one of us has. That we can overcome temptation because God sent Jesus out to be tempted now, didn't he? Jesus, he comes, he's baptized. God the Father recognizes him and sends his Spirit. He sends his dove upon him. And his peace comes over Jesus, we're certain. And what's the next thing he does? He sends him out to be tempted. What kind of father is that? I always laugh when I think about this. I don't write all the stuff that goes through my head when I'm doing my Sunday sermons online and stuff, but as I thought about this, I thought, my boys must have thought of me that way. I pounded it in their heads, when you're 18, you're gone. You're getting out of this house. You're going out into the world. And it almost seems cruel sometimes. But you know, all three of my kids I'm so proud of, they all knew when they were 18. Mom said they could stay, but Dad said, you gotta go. They all left and they all did wonderful. Because they went into the world where they learned how to resist temptation. Isn't that what life is all about? Isn't that why Jesus went from being baptized to 40 days in the wilderness? To set an example for you and for me. To know that God can't overcome this. To know that this same dove that lighted on Jesus also lights on us. He not only said, this is my son, it also tells us that we are his son. God is my father. He's your father. And he'll be with us. And he'll help us through our temptations. I was looking at it from Martin Luther. I really liked it. I wanted to share with you. Because when I think of temptations, we can't. It seems like sometimes it's almost impossible to overcome. What Paul write? So Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10:13, he said, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. So God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." And what is this way out? So Martin Luther, he wrote this, and I really liked this, so I thought I better share it. That when depression and temptation comes, the best way to handle them is to say, "I am baptized. I am baptized." Because he urges us to tell the demonic forces that tempt us that we are the sons and the daughters of God. And through the baptism, and therefore those forces, they don't have any control over us. Think about that. We're sons and daughters of God. And as we accepted Christ as our Savior, we're baptized. And those waters of baptism had fallen over us. That dove has come and gives us that peace. We have a rainbow, a promise from God that the waters of temptation won't overtake us. When I thought about that, I remembered a pastor that I grew up with, listened to many times, was one of his great things. He said, "You'd wait, and before long, somebody always pipe up. So how do we know?" He said, "Whichever dog you feed wins." Think about that. If you want the good dog to win, if you want the good parts in your life to win, you have to feed the good dog. Otherwise, the evil dog will win. Anyway, back to our story. So Rod, he's still finishing his work up on the refrigerator, on his cupboard. He's getting his cupboard close to done. But his stomach's still growling, and all that pepperoni, that did taste really good. It's a little weird at first, but it tasted pretty good. So then he's still looking at this piece of chocolate cake, and his stomach's still grumbling. He says, they won't miss one more stick of that pepperoni. There was a lot of them in that can. So he goes back over and he goes, "Know is wrong," just say, "I am baptized." Because when we do that, we feed the good dog. "I am baptized." Remember the waters of baptism that flooded over us. It gives us strength and courage. Because God won't tempt us, won't give us anything before us that we can't handle. Because he is with us, because we are his children. "I am baptized." Don't let the waters of temptation overtake you. Let's pray together. Father, we do just to be with you, to hear your voice, to know for certain that the waters of temptation will not overtake us if we remember our baptism, if we remember who we are, that we are your children, your sons, your daughters. Be with us this morning, Father. Bless us in our lives and all we do. For we pray these things in Jesus' name.